Welcome to SpaceX Daily, everyone. Today, we're diving into a story that blends disaster relief, space technology, and yes, even a dash of political theater. Joining me to unpack it all is astrophysicist extraordinaire Dr. Neil deGrasse Rocketman. Neil, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, Sarah. Though I have to admit, the Rocketman moniker is a new one, even for me.
Well, you do make understanding the cosmos incredibly entertaining. But let's talk about a slightly closer-to-home application of space tech. Starlink's role in assisting communities impacted by Hurricane Helene.
It's a fascinating case study, isn't it? We have a situation where traditional communication infrastructure has been crippled, and suddenly, this satellite-based internet service becomes a lifeline. It really highlights the potential of Starlink and space-based solutions in general for disaster response.
Absolutely. But of course, it wouldn't be a modern news cycle without some political wrangling. We've got former President Trump claiming credit for Starlink's deployment, while the White House insists it was already in motion. What's your take on that, Neil?
Well, it's certainly not surprising to see politicians trying to capitalize on a crisis, is it? The reality is, FEMA was already coordinating with SpaceX to deploy Starlink terminals to affected areas. But Trump's involvement, regardless of its actual impact, does bring more attention to the situation, which could ultimately benefit those in need.
That's an interesting point. It's almost like, regardless of intention, this political back and forth could end up amplifying the message that help is available.
Precisely. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? On the one hand, you have potentially misleading claims being made. On the other, those very claims might reach people who desperately need that information about Starlink's availability. It's a complex situation, to say the least.
So, Neil, Starlink's making headlines again, but not necessarily for the reasons you'd expect. They're raising prices, and in some cases, it's a pretty significant jump. What's your take on this?
Well, Sarah, it's a complex issue. On the one hand, citing inflation, especially given the global economic climate, isn't entirely out of left field. We've seen similar price hikes across numerous sectors. However, when you look at the specific increases, particularly in regions like Nigeria, where they've bumped it up by almost 100%, it does raise eyebrows.
Yeah, that Nigerian price hike is definitely attention-grabbing. It makes you wonder if there are other factors at play, maybe related to market demand or infrastructure costs in the region.
It's certainly possible. Starlink's still expanding its satellite network, and that comes with significant investment. They might be feeling the pressure to recoup those costs, and regions with high demand and limited alternatives, like parts of Africa, could be seen as prime targets for price adjustments.
And then there's that new congestion charge, an extra $100 for new users in high traffic areas. It's an interesting approach, almost like a surge pricing model for internet access.
It is, and it speaks to the inherent limitations of satellite internet. Unlike terrestrial networks, satellite bandwidth is finite. As more users come online, especially in densely populated areas, congestion becomes a real concern. This fee seems like an attempt to manage that, but it also highlights the need for continued innovation in satellite technology to keep pace with growing demand.
So, Neil, this isn't the first hiccup SpaceX has encountered this year. This latest Falcon 9 anomaly, a third grounding in just a few months, seems to be raising some eyebrows. What are your thoughts on this recent string of events?
Well, Sarah, it's important to remember that spaceflight is inherently risky. Every launch, every maneuver, has inherent uncertainties. That said, three incidents in such a short time frame does raise concerns. It suggests there might be underlying systemic issues that need addressing.
Systemic issues? Can you elaborate on that?
It could be anything from quality control issues in manufacturing to potential oversights in design or testing procedures. The fact that these incidents involve both stages of the Falcon 9 and have occurred across different mission profiles suggests a broader pattern rather than isolated incidents.
And the implications of these groundings. SpaceX has a pretty packed launch schedule.
Absolutely. These delays will undoubtedly impact SpaceX's ambitious launch cadence. Missions like the Europa Clipper, which rely on the same upper stage as the Falcon 9, could face significant postponements. This could have ripple effects throughout the space industry, impacting research timelines and international collaborations.
Neil, shifting gears a bit, let's talk about SpaceX's latest venture, the Starlink Mini. It seems Elon Musk has a knack for timely releases, wouldn't you say?
Indeed, Sarah. The timing of the Starlink Mini's release, coinciding with Hurricane Helene, is quite strategic. It highlights the potential of satellite internet constellations like Starlink to provide crucial communication lifelines in disaster-stricken areas.
Speaking of SpaceX alumni, Neil, Tom Mueller's Impulse Space just raised a hefty $150 million. That's quite a vote of confidence for a company that's only a couple of years old, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, Sarah. And it speaks volumes about both Tom's reputation and the potential investors see in Impulse's approach. Remember, Tom was a founding member of SpaceX and led the development of the Merlin engines. He's a true rocketry legend. When someone with his track record starts a new venture, people pay attention.
And it seems they're not just attracting attention, they're delivering results. Their first mission, Elio Express 1, was deemed a success, even exceeding expectations, according to Mueller. That must be a significant factor in this recent funding round.
Definitely. The space industry is moving away from the move fast and break things mentality. Demonstrating reliability and precision, especially in orbital maneuvering, is crucial for securing those lucrative commercial and government contracts. Impulse seems to be ticking all the right boxes.
It's also interesting to see the diversity of investors involved. We're talking Airbus Ventures, RTX Ventures, and even the U.S. Space Force. It seems Impulse is positioning itself strategically within the broader space ecosystem.
Absolutely. And that's a smart move. By securing funding from a wide range of stakeholders, they're not just getting financial backing, they're forging partnerships and alliances that will be invaluable as they scale their operations. It's a clear indication that Impulse isn't just aiming for a small slice of the pie. They're thinking big.
Speaking of impressive feats in space, did you catch that incredible footage of the Crew Dragon spacecraft making its way to the ISS? They released a couple of videos, one from SpaceX and one from NASA, showing the Dragon hurtling through space with Earth as a stunning backdrop.
Oh, absolutely. Those videos were mesmerizing. It's not every day you get to see a spacecraft zipping across the face of our planet at 17,500 miles per hour. It really puts into perspective the incredible speeds involved in orbital mechanics.
And the perspective is what's so fascinating here, seeing the Dragon from the ISS as if it's just gently approaching, really underscores the fact that both spacecraft are moving at that mind-boggling speed. It's a fantastic illustration of relative motion.
Exactly. It's a great reminder that what we perceive as stillness in space is often anything but. And capturing that on video, with the curvature of the Earth and the blackness of space as the backdrop, is just breathtaking. It's a testament to how far we've come in terms of space imaging technology.
And let's not forget the human element of all this. On board that Dragon were NASA astronaut Nick Hague and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov, embarking on their mission to join the crew already on the ISS.
Right, and their journey is a reminder of the ongoing international collaboration in space exploration. Despite geopolitical tensions on Earth, the partnership between nations in space continues to thrive, with the ISS serving as a shining example of what we can achieve together.
Speaking of international collaboration, or perhaps the lack thereof, our next story takes us back down to Earth, where SpaceX's Starlink is facing some legal turbulence from an unexpected source.
Oh, do tell. Is it the FCC again, or perhaps another round with Amazon's Kuiper project?
Not quite. This time, it's a group of European telecom giants, including Vodafone, Telefonica, and Orange, who are threatening legal action if the FCC grants SpaceX any leeway with its cellular Starlink system.
Interesting. I wasn't aware that European companies had such a vested interest in U.S. regulatory decisions. What's their primary concern?
They're worried about radio interference. SpaceX is asking the FCC for permission to exceed standard radio emission limits for its cellular Starlink, claiming it's necessary for robust coverage, especially for voice and video calls. However, these European telcos, along with some U.S. carriers like AT&T and Verizon, argue that this could disrupt existing terrestrial networks.
Ah, spectrum allocation, the perennial battleground of the telecom world. It's a limited resource, and everyone wants their slice of the pie. But for European companies to threaten legal action over U.S. spectrum usage is quite a bold move.
It certainly raises eyebrows. They claim that any degradation in spectrum quality, which they've licensed from their respective national authorities, would justify legal action for damages. It seems they're interpreting the potential impact on their roaming agreements and international services as grounds for involvement.
That's a fascinating angle. It highlights how interconnected the global telecom landscape has become and how regulatory decisions in one country can have ripple effects across borders. This could set a precedent for future disputes over orbital resources.
Speaking of international cooperation, let's turn our attention to a rather unusual crew swap that just took place on the International Space Station. Neil, you must have seen this. Butch and Sunita are finally back home. Well, not quite home, but at least back on the ISS.
It's certainly an interesting situation. A bit of a cosmic switcheroo, wouldn't you say? It highlights the complexities and, frankly, the unexpected turns that space travel can take. I mean, who could have predicted that a mission initially planned for a week would turn into an 8-month stay?
It's almost comical, in a way. Imagine signing up for a week-long business trip and ending up stuck in a hotel room, albeit a very high-tech one with a spectacular view, for the better part of a year.
And no room service. But all jokes aside, it does underscore the importance of redundancy and backup plans in spaceflight. These astronauts were prepared to handle a longer stay, and they continued to contribute to vital research and operations aboard the ISS. It's a testament to their professionalism and resilience.
Absolutely. And let's not forget the role of SpaceX in all of this. They stepped in to provide a ride home for Butch and Sunita when the Starliner encountered its issues. It speaks volumes about the evolving landscape of space exploration, with private companies playing an increasingly vital role.
Indeed. This public-private partnership is becoming the cornerstone of modern spaceflight. It allows for more frequent missions, diverse capabilities, and ultimately accelerates our progress in understanding and exploring the cosmos. So, Sarah, it seems like the SpaceX Crew 8 mission really knocked it out of the park in terms of scientific output. Even though their stay was extended, they managed to contribute to a remarkable range of research.
Absolutely, Neil. From groundbreaking work on antibiotic resistance to advancements in 3D bioprinting, and even studying how fire behaves in microgravity, their work has implications for fields far beyond space exploration.
And let's not forget the human element. Imagine the challenges of conducting complex experiments while adapting to the unique environment of space. These astronauts are not only scientists and engineers, but also pioneers pushing the boundaries of human endurance and ingenuity.
Their dedication is truly inspiring, and their work on projects like the Human Brain Organoid Models investigation could lead to breakthroughs in our understanding of neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's. That's potentially life-changing research happening as we speak.
It really highlights how space exploration isn't just about rockets and robots, it's about improving life here on Earth. The knowledge gained from these experiments could have a profound impact on medicine, materials science, and our understanding of our own planet.
Well said, Neil. And with that, we wrap up another episode of SpaceX Daily. Today, we've journeyed from the heart of rocket launches to the intricate world of scientific experiments aboard the International Space Station. It's a testament to human ambition and our relentless pursuit of knowledge beyond the bounds of Earth. Until next time, this is Sarah Stellarcast, signing off.